Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but grew rather worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing about you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow them except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark has an interesting way of constructing some of the stories he tells. It tends to get called the Markan sandwich. He starts one story. A ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, implored Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come." But then he interrupts it with the second one. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood. And Mark lets that second story play out, while the clock ticking in our heads goes on in the first one. And in this case, that ticking clock is meaningful because it starts the second portion of it, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But that doesn't end the story. That layering of the story creates some tension, making it more interesting. It also makes it easier to memorize ABA. The Gospel of Mark is reported to be Mark's copying down of Peter's witness. And after Mark had gotten kicked off of Team Paul after their first missionary journey, he ends up with Peter all the way to Rome. You can imagine Peter telling this story multiple times, and Mark kind of working out the best way to retell it and to remember it all. But what that sandwich really invites us to do is to compare and contrast the two stories. How are they alike? And how are they different? Does that inner story shed any light on the outer story? Does the outer story help us understand what's going on inside? The first thing I want to say is that both stories are about desperation. A father of a 12-year-old daughter who is dying. And not just any father, but the ruler of a synagogue. This is a guy who is competent and accomplished. He's used to being able to take care of things. You don't get a great crowd following you or to be the ruler of the synagogue, the equivalent of a mayor or a judge, without reason. But he can do nothing. Jairus, this proud man, is reduced to asking the itinerant miracle worker for a miracle. Lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And that "may" is an interesting addition because you could also translate it "might." It's a verb form indicating some squishiness of resolve. Although Jesus doesn't call Jairus out on this, like he would call out another desperate father who brought his boy and ended up pleading, "I believe, help my unbelief." But I think there is an intentional comparison between the inner and the outer story we're meant to ponder. In the outer story, there are constant questions. She may live. Don't bother the teacher anymore. The people weeping and wailing laughed at him. And even just bringing in Peter, James, and John, while the inner story is one of absolute faith, she had heard reports about Jesus, and "if I just touch his garments, I will be made well." The outer story is populated by people who have probably seen and were in the know about what Jesus had been doing. That's why they were going to him. Even the temple priests from Jerusalem had sent people to witness what Jesus was doing. Surely a ruler of a local synagogue had gone out to see, or at least sent some members to check it out. Maybe even invite the miracle worker to his synagogue. It had been Jesus' custom to preach in them all, after all. But the inner story is just this lone woman. And all she had were reports. She had heard the report about Jesus. Yet she knew. The ruler knew enough to say, "Come and lay your hands on her." Jesus' common method of doing this. Or Jairus was at least confident enough to boldly ask that. But the woman believed the garment would be enough. There are some other comparisons that are attractive to highlight. Both of these people would have been at one time worldly rich, Jairus still would be, while the woman had spent it all on doctors. There's the fact of the number 12. The girl was 12 years of age, while the woman had been ill for 12 years. One had lived as long as the other had been ill. We might make something of those. But the greater comparison is what happens after the miracles. In the outer story, everyone is overcome with amazement. In the inner story, the woman knew what had happened to her and came in fear and trembling. The outer story is a reaction to one hell of a magic trick. It's the reaction of those who don't know, who would like to know how that's done. The inner story is the reaction to meeting God. The inner story is that story of the soul. Our souls know they are sick. We know we're bleeding, that the life in the blood is draining from us, and everything we have tried is meaningless. Money doesn't stop it. Gurus and doctors don't stop it. Self-help fails. For 12 years, complete time, we've tried everything. And it has left us here, desperate. And then we hear the gospel. The report of Jesus, the word proclaimed. And the soul knows that if it meets God, everything will be made right. The Lord of life, if the soul could just touch his garment, we will be made well. And the problem with our desperate souls is that we might have heard reports of God's power and glory, but we don't know God himself. The power is there, but what is the price? And when the soul doesn't know God or has no idea of the price, fear and trembling is the correct response. The hem of his garment can heal, could also demand it all back. And the voice called out in the garden, Adam and Eve hid. But the purpose of the voice of God is not to damn us. The voice of God calls to us that we might know God. Who touched my garment was not to take back the power which had gone out or to extract some kind of price. It was so that the soul might respond and know God. It's so that our fear and trembling might be replaced with assurance. Because the God that the soul comes to know is the one that calls it daughter. The God the soul comes to know is the one that praises the faith that reached out in its desperation. The God the soul comes to know is the one who says, go in peace. Because the price demanded is nothing. It's charged to the grace of that cross. The God of all souls, Jesus Christ, is the God who wishes that we were all healed of our disease of sin. That we would all have faith that all of the sins were carried. That not even touching a garment is necessary, just the faith that Jesus loves you. Stop fearing. This is the God who does not quench the smoldering wick or bruise the slender reed. Christ is the strength and the salvation of the desperate. If that inner story is a story of the mature soul that has met God, what is the outer story of the young girl and the father? There are the doubts. She may be made well. There are those who say it's over. This Christ is not for you. Why trouble the teacher now? There are the scoffers. They laughed at him. And there's the personal amazement that is not quite faith. Jesus says to all of this, do not fear, only believe. But when confronted by the power of God, there's just this amazement. Is this really happening? I didn't think it was possible. But the inner story is the mature soul. The outer story is the soul's preparation. The situation of the little girl is actually worse. She's dead. The only thing that can raise her is the Word of God. That's the soul without faith. And there are so many lies that the devil tells that poor soul. This God that you're seeking isn't powerful enough. You can't be made well. You are beyond his power and grace. He isn't for you. You still believe in these fairy tales? Still? But the devil's lies cannot stop the power of God. Christ is risen, and we too will arise. He will speak to every single one of us ever living the same thing. I say to you, arise. And as the old hymn puts it, proofs I see sufficient of it. 'Tis the true and faithful word. But the purpose of those that surround such a soul are to do what Jesus says. First, do not fear, only believe. Whatever the situation is, God is going to work it for the good of his people. Believe it. And even if the world takes this flesh, we await the resurrection and the new heavens and the new earth and the life eternal. But in the meantime, give her something to eat. Because the soul lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Christ has given us his word. He's given us his body and blood, this manna for our time of wandering. And if you have a maturing soul new to life, give them something to eat. we can go in peace because we've been fed. Christ has cured us of our deepest sin, and he will say to us, arise, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Amen.